Well, the justice of the peace is right up here, Stanley. Just think, in a few minutes, you and Patsy will be one.
One what?
One husband and one wife.
Well, that makes two.
Oh, shut up.
Will you two can that chatter? I want to get this wedding over with.
Do you feel all right, sweetheart?
Uh-huh. I certainly do. I feel fine.
Not you, Patsy. Now, come on and let's go. Ouch, my foot. Will you watch where you're going?
Well, I can't see a thing with this veil on. I can't see a thing.
You don't wear the veil. The bride wears it. Here, put it on, Patsy.
Thank you, Wally.
Did you get her some orange blossoms for her hair like I told you to?
Well, I couldn't find the orange blossoms, so I got some oranges instead.
Yeah, real oranges, look.
Oh, so that's what's hanging in front of your eyes.
Uh-huh.
How do you keep them there?
She's got bags for them, I do.
Will you keep still? Now, let's go in.
Ollie.
What?
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Well, I'm going to marry Patsy. We've only been going steady for 12 years. You know how it is.
Now, don't be nervous. Take a little shot of this.
What is it?
16-year-old prune punch. It'll bolster your right up. Here.
Thank you, Ollie.
Oh, boy, that's good.
Thank you, Ollie. Here's the bottle.
Well, where's the cork?
What cork?
The cork that was in the bottle.
Oh, I thought that was a prune pit, and I swallowed it.
Oh, say, will you please ring the bell and stop wasting my time?
Okay.
Ring it louder. We've got to wake the justice up.
What's the matter? Is he dead?
Here, I ring it. That's the way to do it.
What happened?
What's going on here? What's all the racket?
We'd like to get married if it's not too much trouble.
Not too much trouble? Getting that guy up at this hour of the night?
What are you squawking about? We're up.
The cork's up, too.
Now I can take my finger out of this bottle.
Well, as long as I'm up, come on in. Well, are you coming in or not?
Oh, yes,
sure,
yes. We're
right
coming
here.
In, yes.
Now, which is which here?
Well, this is she, and that's it.
My goodness, young lady, where did you get that veil you're wearing?
From my father.
He keeps bees, Judge.
Young man, you're very fortunate to have a girl like this. My dear, you have lovely orange eyes.
Thank you, Judge. Have one?
No, thanks.
I'll have one, if you don't mind.
You can eat later.
Now, miss, I'll have to fill out the certificate. What's your name, please?
Patsy Moran.
What?
Moran. M-O-R-O-N.
Oh! What's that for? Now, you keep out of this. And now, what's your name?
My name? Laurel. But call me Stanley for short.
And where were you born?
Bridge, Minnesota.
Bridge, Minnesota?
Yes. On the bridge, right between St. Paul and Minneapolis. You know, I'll never forget that morning. All the cars were coming around, and there was trucks coming.
Will you keep quiet?
All right, now stand here before me.
Excuse me.
Well, let's go. I want to get back to bed. Now, young lady, you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And you, Stanley for short, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I've taken a dislike to her.
You've taken a dislike to her?
Yep.
Oh. Okay, Judge, she's fainted.
Yeah, quick, get her some brandy.
I haven't got any brandy.
A beer will do.
a fine judge. No brandy. Just a minute. Did you or did you not wake me up out of a sound sleep to marry you?
I don't remember.
And now you stand there and say you don't want to go through with it?
Well, I'm sorry I changed my mind. I couldn't help it.
Why, you little... I'm going to take
you... Come on, Stanley and Patson. Let's get out of here.
All right. Oh, Stanley, you brute. Oh.
I can't help it, Patsy. I just...
Stanley.
What, Ollie?
You came out here to get married, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You took poor little Patsy away from her mother. Her home.
Yes, I know, but...
You stand her up at the altar. Only a cad would do that.
I'm sorry, Ollie. I'm a devil.
Now, we're going back in there, and you're going to behave yourself.
Ollie.
What?
Give me another shot.
Here.
Thanks, Ollie. Oh, boy, that's good. Thank you.
Now, kiss and make up. Not me, Patsy.
Oh. So it's you. Oh, so it's you again, eh?
Everything's all straightened out.
Come on.
Everything's all straightened out, Judge. I've talked to Stanley.
Well, it better be. Come in. Now stand before me. Young man, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Aye. Now, young woman, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I should say not.
Why not?
I've taken a dislike to him.
Well, can you beat that?
Why, you two little whippersnappers? I'll take the both of you and read your neck.
Come on. Let's get out of here. This is another fine mess you've got me into. Now, look, Patsy, you came out here to get married, didn't you?
Sure.
You took poor little Stanley away from me. You broke up my home. You brought him all the way here to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
And when you get here, you leave him standing at the altar. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, kiss and make up.
Oh.
Not me, Stanley. Now, come on, let's go in.
Ollie.
What?
How about another shot?
Not now.
Make it two.
Wait till after you're married.
Surprise?
Surprise? Why, you...
Calm down, Judge. Now, everything is all set.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yep.
Step right in, folks.
Thank you, Judge.
Now, stand before me. You take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Then I won't marry you.
Why not?
Because I've taken a dislike to the whole bunch of you.
But, Judge...
Get out of here!
Well, it looks like back to the laundry for me.
Ollie, how about that shot you promised me? Remember that?
I'm glad you reminded me.
Thanks. Here it is.
Producer Bill Raby took his tape recorder and the super chief to Los Angeles and a car across the freeways to an apartment in Santa Monica overlooking the sea. In a room filled with the byproducts of a full life on stage and screen, he asked Stan Laurel how it all began.
I was raised in the business, you might say. My dad had several theaters. He authored several plays. My mother was a well-known actress in that part of England. It was mostly in the north of England. They had these theaters. Shows, of course, played. I think the first time I was on the stage, I played a newsboy in a show called... Let me see. I think it was called the Lights of London.
Do you remember your first line?
It was just a walk across the latest edition, so I don't even remember. But, I mean, it was so very slight that it was just an exposure to an audience for the first time. I think think the reason I drifted into comedy was the fact that I wasn't just cut out for an actor. I mean, a straight actor. I just wasn't able to talk. I mean, as I keep saying, my first professional job was in a pantomime. In the north of England, it was a juvenile pantomime. Pantomime, of course, isn't the miming as you refer to it here.
It's a Christmas show.
It's a Christmas pantomime. They talk, they sing, they dance, they do comedy bits and numbers and what have you. In other words, it's a fairy story. And then in this nursery was all the toys, his rocking horse and them, but many of the toys were human beings. They just stood quite still all the time. So another boy and I played a couple of gollywogs. Those are those rag dolls. You probably know them. That was my first...
That was your first taste of people laughing at you when you...
Yeah, and we used to do little comedy bits and, you know. Then I went with a show called The House of Jack Built. It was for the same outfit with the juvenile panther. And after that, I went into a dramatic show and did a comedy part called Alone in the World. It was an American show. The author was an American. I think he wrote The Fatal Wedding. It was a very famous old-time dramatic play. So this was another one of his shows. And it was just a little touring company, you know, it wasn't anything.
What happened from there?
Oh, Lord, now it's starting to get varied. Oh, I had a crack at vaudeville. In those days, it was quite a thing to be a boy comic. Boy comedian, you would be billed. But I didn't last too long at that. It's a strange thing. I was never too successful as a single comic.
No?
I always had more success with team.
Did you work as a team before you went with Oliver?
I had several teams. I had a trio. We started out as the three English comiques. And then we later changed the name to the Keystone Trio. And then...
Why Keystone?
Well, because I did the Chaplin impersonation.
Oh,
and the other
Keystone.
Boy did Chester Conklin. And his wife played in the act. She did Mabel Norman. So it was quite a hit in those days. Chaplin was just coming up and he was very popular. So he's kind of caught up.
In your work before you teamed with the big team, had you always played the same type of character you personally?
Oh, no. I varied a great deal. In those days, I parted my hair in the middle. I was a different style. In fact, I had no particular style. I was just pushing around and trying to find myself, as you might say.
What led to the...
I don't know. It just developed for some reason, rather. Just developed.
There's no one person you can say.
No, I don't think that anybody can lay claim to. It just evolved. The same with Hardy.
As the characterizations that were to become world famous evolved, so did Stan Laurel's techniques of comedy development. Stan was the principal writer, gag man, or creator of a team. Where did he find comedy material?
Well, you unconsciously remember things. You put another point to it. You see some. It's like writing stories and everything. Everyone has something from somewhere. You visualize the situation and what could have happened. Might be very funny. Because we turn tragedy into comedy. Many of our stories are shorts. Could have and have been used in feature pictures. A serious material. We took the other line there. The humorous side of it. Times there was a little pathos. I think it's good for a comic. It's necessary for a comic to have pathos.
Would you want to leave them that way, though, at the end of the film?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it just depends. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Now, we have many fine comics, so did have in England. But Chaplin was one. He could have them laughing 1 minute and crying the next, the lump in the throat. That's a great artist, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country. Words cannot describe my feelings of
content. Hey.
Never before have I been received.
Hey.
Never before have I been... Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I think my friend Mr. Laurel wishes to speak to me. What's on your mind?
What about mentioning me in the speech?
Don't worry, I'll get to you in just a few minutes.
In a few minutes?
Certainly.
Well, the record will be over in a few minutes, then you won't be able to...
Listen, why don't you do something to help me?
Well, what can I do?
Here's a hard-boiled egg. Eat that and just relax.
Thank you, Ollie.
Now, let's see where I was. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you've given me on my first visit to your beautiful country.
Ollie?
What?
Speak up.
What for?
I can't hear you.
But if you'll get that egg down, you'll be able to hear me much better.
I just did get the egg down.
What'd you do with the eggshell?
What eggshell?
Don't tell me you've eaten the egg with the shell on it.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me anything about it. You don't happen to have another one, do you?
No, I haven't.
You got any nuts?
No, I haven't got any nuts.
Well, what'd you do with those we brought to New York?
Oh, I left them in my wardrobe trunk.
Where is your trunk? Maybe we could go get them.
Oh, that reminds me. Where is my trunk? I haven't seen it for several days.
Have you felt in all your pockets?
Now, that's a good idea. I'll take a look. What do you mean, have I felt in all my pockets? Will you please stop annoying me while I make this speech?
No, I'm not annoying you. I'm not doing anything.
Keep quiet.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop wiggling your tie.
What do you mean, stop wiggling my tie?
Well, every time you get fancy, you start wiggling your tie, and it looks silly.
If you interrupt me again, I'll wiggle you. What are you crying for?
I don't want to be wiggled. Oh.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to speak to my friend privately. What are you trying to do? Spoil my speech?
No, that's impossible.
You bet your life it's impossible.
That's the first time you've agreed with me, Ollie.
Oh, you're getting sarcastic, huh?
No, I'm not.
Well, just for that, you make a speech.
I don't want to make a speech.
Oh, yes, you will make a speech.
I don't know anything about it.
Go ahead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
With your hat off.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Pardon. Ladies and gentlemen, with your hat off.
Oh, you don't say that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, without your hat off.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know how happy we are to be here with you tonight in Chicago, America.
Oh.
It's the first...
We're in London, you fool. London.
Well, I didn't know. I've been traveling to so many places, I wasn't quite sure just where we were.
Well, go ahead. It won't make any difference anyway.
So this is London, eh?
Yes, London.
Ladies and gentlemen,
said that once.
All right. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight in London, Scotland.
No, I've done it. No more speeches.
What do you mean, no more speeches? We've got to do something.
All right. Maybe I can sing a little song.
That's a good idea. Oh, say, that reminds me.
What?
I wish I brought my piano with me from America.
You don't have to bring a piano all the way from America. There's plenty here.
I know, but I wish I'd brought mine.
Now, why in your wildest dreams do you wish you'd brought your piano with you?
Well, you won't be mad at me if I tell you, will you?
Oh, no. You know I couldn't really get mad with you.
No, I'd rather not tell you.
Come on now. Why do you wish that you brought your piano with you?
Well, I left our return tickets lying on top of it, and...
I couldn't see it.
little program from 7 till 8, I think, called the Cuckoo Hour. And that was a little strain of the theme. That these at the start and the close of the program. But they did old piano numbers and the told jokes and just advertising in between. A little insignificant station. So we heard this one morning with the tune, the little cuckoo thing. Take a lesson with that. Let's get a recording made of it and put it in one of our pictures at the opening to see what the reaction would be. And the audience laughed at it. So I think Roach gave the guy $50 for the rights to it. Nothing, you know. So it became quite popular. It became our trademark. The Boston Symphony Orchestra made a beautiful overture.
I suppose they've never recorded it.
I heard it. People told me it was on the air. But I never did hear it, and I was never able to get a copy of it. But it was done by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And then the Columbia Orchestra in London also made one.
When did you first see Oliver Hardy then?
Well, Hardy, I first made a picture for Bronco Billy Anderson. I'd never met him, and he called me up one night and asked me to come down to the hotel that he would like to have me make a series of pictures. So at that time, we had no studio, so I rented space at the Celix Zoo studio here. And he'd had, when he had the studio in Niles, California, at the time Chaplin was with him, and Ben Turpin, and Wally Beery, and Gloria Swanson. They were called S&E Pictures. Well, he had a director with him at that time called Jess Robbins, who is now directing over at Vitagraph Studio with Larry Seaman. So Anderson called him up and said, I got a new comic. I want you to make this pilot picture with him. So Robbins happened to be between pictures with Seaman. So he brought his cameraman over to direct this picture with me, and also brought Hardy. Well, Hardy was doing the heavies for Seaman. That Hardy, Babe, as we called him later, didn't wear any mustache. He just played a heavy part. It was mostly for Chase at those type of days. So that's the first time that I met Babe, but only for two or three days. And I didn't see him for probably two or three years after. Till later he came down to the Hal Roach studio where I was now writing, directing, and a gang man capacity. So I was making a picture with Clive Cook, and Babe got into stock at the studio. We had a little stock company there. So I used Babe many times in whatever picture that I was making. And finally we were ready to go on a picture on the Monday, and on the Friday before, Babe burned his arm pretty bad. He used to love to cook at home. This afternoon he was cooking the roast of lamb, and the pan fell out the oven, and the hot grease burned his arm. So he wasn't able to go into the picture on the Monday. So at the last minute, Roach says, well, you better go in. Couldn't find anybody to play it. So at the last minute, I went in and played it all my idea of it. Of course, had to be changed in the way Hardy looked at it. Anyway, Roach liked it, the preview, and says, keep yourself in for the next one. So in a couple of weeks or so, Hardy was back. Next one, there was a picture with Priscilla Dean and Herb Rawlinson. Trying to think what the name of that picture was. Anyway, Dave and I were in that picture, although we weren't as a team. We did come together in the picture, although we had no connection to the story. So, Roach liked that one, said, keep on doing that, and I kept on making the pictures, and finally it evolved, and Roach just would make the low, hardy comedy. So from then on, it just evolved and developed. The characters evolved, they developed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is again Laurel and Hardy.
In two parts.
Will you shut up? You've done enough damage.
What damage?
You left our tickets behind in America, and now we've got to swim back.
How far is it?
Oh, it's only 3,000 miles.
Well, that's not bad. It's only 1,500 miles each.
You wait till I introduce the orchestra, and I'll take care of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we leave behind a musical memory, a dance version of our theme song, which we hope you will enjoy. The Dance of the Cuckoos.
Goodbye.